Welcome to Viva the Derby Super Fun Happy Time! Roll call! Kahuna!
Denominator!
Cyclantilla!
Kahuna! Denominated Cyclantilla!
Yay! For Viva the Derby, this is Big Kahuna.
I'm Denominator.
We've got a special collaboration here today. Roller Derby AU is joining us for the first time on audio, and we're sitting with Winnie Brewers and Captain Rats of the Team Unicorn. We got
Pepper LaPower,
Winnie Brewers,
Captain Rats.
Here for Viva the Derby.
Or is it looking for cupcakes?
No, because it's dirty. I prepare for a game like an NHL player, just put it that way. I limber up my hips.
Like an NHL player?
Yeah, people on my team will know what that means.
Now we have to figure it out.
All right, everybody, so it loosens up the hip flexors, relaxes your legs, calms your nerves.
Okay, all right.
And apart from that, I wax my legs to make myself more aerodynamic.
Nice.
What an interesting interview.
Yeah, apart from that, it's just the same old stuff, like pretty boring. Hanging out, you know, the night before, because we train on Wednesday, Thursdays, so, you know, we usually do, you know, go hard in, like, all the drills and stuff like that, but when it comes to scrimmaging, we kind of scrimmage a little bit lighter, just with a team that's, you know, my team's kind of a little bit older than the rest of the girls, and a little bit injury prone, so we just kind of try to tone it down a bit in the last few days before a game, so that we're all fresh.
You may have to repeat all this again for us.
Well, let's just use this. Yeah, I don't want to double up and
all right.
have to say the same thing again. Unless we've got better answers next time around.
she thought about it.
Maybe.
She's warming up. She's setting this up for VLT.
What else are we going to ask?
Can I just go on from that?
Yeah, fine.
As part of your preparation process, is there any inspirational 80s music that you like to go out and pump out?
Europe.
Final countdown.
The final countdown, start to finish. Yep.
Is that a karaoke anthem for the team?
Danger on the Track is a bit of a favourite. Me and Thunder Pussy are a bit of a fan of Danger on the Track. It's always been in the back of our minds to use for a skate out because we think that kind of crosses over pretty well. But yeah, 80s power ballads, like, you really can't go wrong. Like, you know.
I'm sorry to impinge on the journalistic integrity by asking about 80s power ballads.
No, this is good. We want to collaborate.
Serious preparation will happen. And then
plus one of the greatest power ballads of all time, Europe do a song called Carrie. And if anyone knows me, that is that other name I go by.
Right.
That other name that we don't like to talk about.
My slave name.
I haven't heard it used that way, but I like that.
Yeah, it's my slave name.
My slave name is the name I'm forced to use.
Yeah, boring everyday life.
One of the things that unicorns are renowned for is the skate outs.
Yes.
Is there just as much preparation put into the skate out as there is for the strategy?
I think Thunder Pussy loves doing it, and she puts like a lot of effort into it. But we really, like, we've only just learned it now this afternoon for the first time. We usually don't have any idea of what's coming. We might know the song just so we can listen to it, get to know it, have a bit of a laugh, you know. And yeah, then we learn it on game day because we really just want to spend the lead up to the game, getting ready for the game, getting your mind in the game and doing all your strategy stuff, and then you faff around on game day, because game day you're not going to take anything in except for some hand claps and maybe a
step touch.
Yeah, you're really not going to take any strategy in on game day, and you just want to calm your nerves and hang out with your team, and it's a good bonding experience. Like, I really enjoy the skate out because it's just fun. Like, it's so silly and ridiculous. I love it. But yeah, it's all thrown together, believe it or not, on game day.
It's impressive. Yeah.
I was very surprised.
And all by Thunder Pussy, is she the team choreographer?
Yeah, Thunder Pussy has always been, well, last year when I was on SAS, she always did our skate outs, and she always did the Assassin skate outs. And now she does the Team Unicorn skate outs, but now Rats is, Captain Rats is a lot more involved in it. And Captain Rats actually picked the song and the routine for the last game where we did the Somewhere Over the Rainbow played into Lady Gaga.
You say that with some disdain.
I know. I call her Lady Gag, but you know, yeah.
But the question I wanted to find out is, you've got this, which is a rather important bout tonight, and then you've got the bout against the Queenslanders coming up. How do you actually prepare the two of them? Is it training worked into each other to tie in? Will you go harder in one bout than another?
I don't know. I reckon people are really going to be, like, you know, killing themselves to win this game tonight. Like, everyone seems to have worked really hard for it. And, you know, for a lot of girls, you know, more girls are not going to be on the Assassins than are. So, you know, this is their
final.
This is the end of their year. They, you know, this is everything they've worked for all year. And it's been a really tough year this year. Like, it just seems like there was a lot more burnout this year. And because it just, you know, it's bigger and the move, and there was a lot more things going on. And, you know, four teams and trying to, you know, train four teams at the same time. It was just all a little bit taxing this year. Fun, but, you know, it definitely wore a lot more people out a lot earlier. So, yeah, I think it's you'll see people really just busting their asses tonight, and like the Assassins will as well, but obviously, you know, we've still got you know, months more ahead of us of games and things to do, so you know, we'll still be breaking our balls, but you know, it's not going to be the same, I don't think, for the girls that are finishing up their season tonight.
You've got Eastern Regions as well, where you're going to be playing against the Canberra team. Guys got beat by them last time, but you normally have the wood over them. Does that change the way you think about or preparation for that bout?
Well, I think last year, because if you saw, like, the scores, it was all quite close. Like, Eastern Region was the first time we played them, and we were all so nervous because we didn't know what to expect. You know, we know Newcastle quite well. We know Wollongong quite well. We knew nothing of Canberra. We knew they had a couple of fast jammers, and we knew Bambi and another couple of players, but we didn't really know their team as a whole. So I was nervous as hell the first time we played them, and we beat them by about 40. And then the gap got, I think it was 20 in the grand final, and then, you know, the next time we played them, it was 1 point or something, and then we got flogged. There's no other word for it. We got flogged heinously in December, and, you know, that made us reassess. We really... Yeah, well, they... Oh, my God, Canberra, hey, they did not like us at all. We got booed from the minute we walked out on the track to the minute we left, and, I mean, everyone talks about, you know, it's the game that shall not be named, but, you know, I still actually had a fun game because there was no pressure. Like, we really got... You know, we were kind of getting convincingly beaten sort of straight away, and it sort of took the pressure off, you know, because then you were just trying to catch up. You didn't have that advantage to lose. You, like, once you're behind, you have nothing further to lose. You're already behind, so you can't go, you know, you lose more points. What else? You're still losing. So we only had to go up from there. So it actually was quite a fun game for me, even though there was some, you know, bad things that happened in it and things like that. But, you know, I still actually enjoyed it. It's a learning experience, and we learnt more about their team and that they were getting very strategic, very fit. And, you know, when one team that you go up against constantly gets better, it makes you better just by default. And you watch and learn, and you pick things up, and you're like, okay, well, what are they doing that we're not doing? And you figure it out. Everyone kind of knows where each other's at. And if you look at the way Derby's going in Australia, the teams that play each other, you know, they just keep pushing each other better, better, better. So... yeah, we'll see how it goes, because the last game that we played, you know, the new Assassin squad this year is still quite new. Like, we've got players, that was their third game ever.
Wow.
That is crazy. Like, to be on a rep team for Sydney and to have played three games ever before and then play in a rep squad, it's pretty awesome. And those girls, like, our new girls, they're pretty good. Like, Bomb, Lethal, Violet.
Why do you reckon those girls are so good? Do you reckon it's the training that Sydney provides? Do you reckon it's sporting backgrounds? Is it just they want it more than anybody else?
all of those, definitely. Like, it was a lot more competitive last year to get in. Like, I came in on the last wave before Whippet came along, and that really did just expose Derby. It did. It really exposed Derby to a lot of people, because I tried out, there were 10 people. No, the movie, yes. No, she definitely inspired a few people to join, I'm sure.
That's okay, but, that was my first thought. Oh, no, the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I joined just before the movie came out, and there were like 10 people, of which I think there's only... Three people still skating from that group, and then the next tryout was 70 people, and then the one after that was like the same. So yeah, it's it was just, yeah, and it was a lot more competitive to get. The last wave was the most competitive we've ever made it to get in. Like, we really capped numbers. Like, when I joined, it was just if you could pass, you got, you know, this certain, you know, that basic skills test, you were in.
Yeah.
If you wanted to be in and you pass, you were in. And then it was like, no, we can only take this many people because we're at capacity, we don't have the training venue. And these girls were training in the car park. Like, they had a little secret set up. I didn't even know who organized it. I think it was a couple of people from our league, like one of our refs and that, and they just, yeah, they were helping girls out that wanted help getting into the league, because you couldn't just rock up with your skates like I did.
Yeah.
I rocked up. I went for a skate like maybe a week before I went to the tryout.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't stop. Couldn't stop at all. I was like, I was grabbing onto poles, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And then I went into my car park at my apartment building and just skated around and was trying to learn how to stop, because I'm like, I'm probably going to need to know that. Seems crucial.
It's a good skill.
Seems crucial.
Stop,
yeah.
Just go faster left.
Yeah, so it was just, yeah, it was definitely a lot more competitive, and I think the training was a lot more focused. That's Captain Rats, y'all. And yeah, the training was a lot more focused. Like, we'd sort of learned what we were doing more. You know, it wasn't just skate left, hit a bitch. It was, you know, skate left, hit someone if you need to. Put on the brakes, force them out, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like,
it started becoming a little bit more tactical.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot more tactical even from the get-go. Mm-hmm. It was like they were really trained up quite well with the help of a few really awesome people in our league. So they got really good habits straight away.
Yep.
Good style, good skills, good everything. So, yeah, and they were able to succeed. And they wanted to be on that assassin so bad, and they really did want it. And, like, the girls, you can see the girls that wanted it. They came to train every week. They were on skates first. They were, like, going, you know, full tilt all the time. And, I mean, good on them. It shows, like, you do have to – it gets to that point where you do have to work really hard now. It's, you can't just – you know, relax on your laurels.
Did that then shake up or push some of the more veteran skaters to lift their game? Was there any complacency in the ranks?
Yeah, definitely. Because you get to a point where, you know, there's some people that you've all kind of gotten to the best in the league, and then you don't have that driving force anymore. Like, when I joined, I followed Thunder Pussy and Two-Ton Taylor around like a bad smell. Because I was sort of the same build as Taylor, but I really liked the way Thunder moved her hips and hit and all that sort of stuff. And I literally like shadowed them around. I'm sure they were like, go away. But, and then I found out Thunder did it to April. Like, Thunder followed April around because April's got a beautiful style of skating.
Yes.
And yeah, we all just, that's just kind of how I learned from, I just watched their way they moved and stuff like that. And that was kind of how I learned. So,
with this one being the final for the season for this year, the two new teams are the ones that have actually made it to the top. Why do you think that's the case?
I have no idea. I know. Well, yeah, ours is because of the magic, clearly. But it really could have gone either way. Like, the start of the year, I think the teams were, you know, it was all so fresh that you didn't really know what each team, like, I think each team has very different strengths and weaknesses, and I think next year it'll be completely different again. But every game's been so close, like, it really, really could have gone any way this year, because there's really, like, not been much in the games at all. Like, they haven't been convincing wins, I don't think, and they've, you know, a lot of the times it's really just come down to the wire. So I think next year I think there's going to be a bit of a, you know, foot up the behind to see, you know, next year it's just going to be even more competitive, because everyone knows that they can get there. Like, they were nearly there.
Yeah.
So, man, you just got
to,
like,
usually comes down to a Winnie Bruce Power Jam, actually. That's what it usually comes down to. That's sort of been the changer in most of the games, but they've been fun to watch.
But that was actually going to be my question. A lot of the times there has been the unicorns that maybe not quite doing as well, and then there is that big jam that comes out where you've nailed it and scored a number of points. How do you sort of get that happening? I mean, it seems to be a fairly regular thing.
Yeah, it's just the way it went. Like, we, you know, the other teams had the same kind of thing happen earlier in the game and pulled out a massive power jam, which put us, you know, in the deficit, and we're like, ah, shit. But, I mean, it's just, I honestly think it's because the Unicorns just, like, we don't give up. We refuse to give up. We always just, like, bust it till the last minute because, you know, it's kind of, I don't think I would feel very good if I got to the end of a game where I didn't try 100% knowing that someone's out there held together by sticky tape. And they've just, you know, put their body on the line to, like, do it for the team sort of thing. So, yeah, everyone really just tries really hard. And they just, like, we try to keep, like, a good spirit now. And, like, we try to keep that fun, happy vibe going. Even if we're getting beaten. Because, you know, it's proven over and over again that, you know, you can come down to the last, like, 4 minutes in a game and we can turn it around. It's not... 30 points is nothing.
Yeah.
20 points is nothing. 30 points is nothing. 40 points is nothing. They are convincing wins. At all, and you haven't lost the game until the game's over. So
coming into the grand final, we know that Unicorns went 3-0 for the season.
Yeah.
However, two of those were really closely, with Epicenter pulling them out in the last 3-4 minutes.
Yep.
What have you done to sort of negate that? So it's great for the crowd, but it must have been giving you guys heart attacks coming into that last couple of minutes behind.
Yeah, it's pretty nerve-wracking when it comes down to the wire like that, because, you know, it's the same in the first couple jams. Everyone's just trying to adjust to, you know, and coming back to the Horton 2, you've got to adjust to that track again, and, you know, you've just got to calm your nerves, and then you've just got to keep them calm. It's just staying calm, like, you've just got to, you know...
How do you keep it together before a grand final?
Not very well this time. I'm really nervous. I was really relaxed this morning when I woke up, but I'm a little bit nervy because it's been a while since I've skated here, and I've got new wheels, so I've got to try, you know, see how they go for me. And
it's a good time to test.
Yeah.
Why not?
What sort of setup do you skate with?
I just got new wheels that are pretty much the stickiest wheels I could find, because this is the slipperiest surface I've ever skated on, ever. So everyone, like, the most popular wheel are, like, the Poisons, which are 88s, I think, and I've just bought these new Rollerbones, which are 80, and I think a couple of other girls might have bought them as well, because they're really sticky. Like, you actually pick them up and you can push on them, they're soft. So, yeah, I just, being a jammer, I just need that extra, like, push to stick to the ground, and, yeah, it's kind of sucks when you go to... get up and take off and you just fall back over again because your feet have just gone out. It's kind of embarrassing, and you're like, it's not me. And, like, yeah, you do, you have to adjust your style, like, you know, you have to get a lot lower and really dig your feet in, you know, a lot wider and stuff like that, and sometimes you just can't do that really quickly, so you just end up bracing yourself for a hit or, yeah, stacking it.
The good news is you've got a pretty good record here at the Horton. You won the last time you were here, and obviously a few more bouts before that, so...
Yeah, I don't think I've lost... I haven't lost a game at the Horton. Yeah, I've played here a few times.
That should up the confidence there.
Yeah, with the SAS, an Assassin's game, and the Chola game.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the first game of the year, all wins, yeah. So good track record. Thanks for bringing that to Lemons. That's made me feel better. Hooray!
It's a different atmosphere as a spectator here at the Horton as opposed to the Olympic Park. How is it different out on the track?
It's still really noisy. Like, it's still crazy loud and insane at Olympic Park, like, especially when it's getting really intense. I think because of the way the seating is, the noise just all kind of siphons down onto the track, and it's still, the atmosphere from a player perspective is still really awesome out there, but here you can hear a little bit more, like if someone's on suicide seating, I can usually hear them. If they're right on the track and they say something, like, I can usually hear it.
Does it psych you out?
No, not really. Like, I've had people boo, and that just makes me want to, like... I'm just like, you boo, and I'm going to hurt the team that you're going for. Like, it drives me to... I'm just like, really? Really? You just did that to me? That was a mistake. Like, yeah, I don't know. I've never really been phased out because it's always funny. Like, I don't know. People are always saying, like, funny crap to me. It's usually my mates, so...
Yeah.
you know, people from other leagues, like whether they're going for you or not, like the Derby community is pretty like supportive no matter what. Like they could be sitting there in a Beauty School Knockout shirt and going, yeah, Winnie, and I'm like, sweet, that's awesome. So
the whole Derby always means to me, and I always cheer for whoever does a really good jam, whoever does a really good block, regardless of the team. I'm unicorns at heart. But if I see the other team doing well, I always cheer them on.
It's a good opportunity to point out for your listeners, VLD, that you've got Nong sitting over here wearing a unicorn shirt and a pink cardigan. She's just loving the Derby.
Yeah, yeah. Sitting on the fence.
I had to wear a general shirt today.
No. My heart lies with Derby. That's it.
Yeah, well, I had the same thing because, you know, since I joined, like, my very first ever game back in November 2009 was against Newcastle, against the Dockyard Dames. So when they finally split into two teams, I was like, oh no! Yes. Like, I really couldn't pick. I have both shirts. Last time I was at the game, I made two signs. I wore blue and orange. I am a massive fan sitter with Newcastle because they're such rad girls, and I really can't pick.
No.
I usually just go with the underdog. I'll cheer louder for the underdog, but I'll still
sounds a bit
wear
like
both.
BK.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I like the underdog.
Yeah.
So who is the underdog coming into tonight?
I actually reckon it's us. I just feel that at the moment, you know, we lost a pillar, so, and we've just had, you know, we've had a few problems with injuries and stuff like that. So, yeah, I and the other team have been working really, really, really hard. They've been doing their own training like every week out of normal training times, and so they're really, really hungry for it. And yeah, we've just kind of been a bit. We've still been working hard, but you know, it's hard when you have a team that's got a lot of mums on it. You can't just go, okay, we're training on this day as well. Like, it's not really that practical, and it takes a lot of your time already. So to then tack another night on, especially when, you know, we've got a couple of players that are assassins as well, and you know, that's also another night of training. So yeah, it's not that easy to just chuck on another team training. But
so when you do these training sessions, is there, you come into the grand final, Beauty School Knockouts, is there a Beauty School Knockout specific strategy that you will employ? Are you targeting specific players? Do you know how they play so you can alter your game to adjust?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, each, you know, you play each other enough and you train with each other enough that you know what the other team's kind of got going on for, and then yeah, you definitely know who their strong players are, and if you isolate certain people, then, you know, their strategy may not work out so great. So yeah, there's definitely team specific stuff, you know.
That's enough.
We know what's up.
That's enough of that.
Shh, Eddie, shh. Well, the other question we can ask then in that case is, unicorns tend to have very obvious fans in the crowd, lots of glitter and rainbows. And how does that feel as a player to see so many people really supporting and getting behind the unicorns?
I freaking love it. Like, I didn't know how people would take our team because we're so ridiculous. Like, it's got a giant, pretty unicorn with so much glitter it hurts your eyeballs on our shirt. So, you know, and coming from, you know, two seasons of having two teams only to then bring in this new team, you know, and no one really knew who we were, and we weren't sure if people were going to get the association straight away and go, oh, hang on a minute, I used to go for that team, but now half of that team is this new team that have all this glitter. Like, who do I go for now? So I was actually really pleasantly surprised with how many people got on board straight away. I'm like, I'm sure that the win helped, but, you know, it's been really rad, and we've got, you know, people that come, you know, they buy stuff, and like our unicorns page is always just a flutter with people find unicorn stuff and they're like, check this out, and people will come to the game and they'll have bought some crazy unicorn shirt or some unicorn prop, and we're just like, this is awesome.
I think people are like the unicorns all because most Derby teams are sort of tough, like the Deviants, and they've just got these hardcore names, and then you get the pretty unicorns that just sort of roll around and glitter and rainbows and shit, and people just love that kind of stuff. I do.
Yeah, it's definitely a contrast to, like, especially last year, like, we had the militant SAS and the scary Deviants, and so, you know, both, you know, they were both very sort of serious, scary.
Was it a conscious decision to go down that sort of path, or was it just something that evolved?
I'm not sure. That's probably a question for Thunder Pussy. It was kind of, you know, it was her baby. Like, when she was in the running for one of the new captains, she, you know, I'm probably even wearing the badge. Yeah, that was her campaign trail. Join the Magic, Thunder Pussy for Captain 2011, and it's a unicorn fighting a rainbow. So that was her campaign. So she knew that from the get-go that she had this Team Unicorn, like it was always going to be Team Unicorn, the Horny Rollers. And so, yeah, but exactly what angle she was hoping that it would end up on, I'm not sure if it's worked out that way. I think it has, but
well,
probably
in the world of Derby, like, where it's supposed to be different and alternate and you know, with Derby, everyone's trying to be so tough that the gayness of the unicorns, and I mean happy, not is the alternate, is the rebel, is the different from the norm that is, you know, the toughness of roller derby. So.
Yeah, well, like, if you look at North American Derby, there's, like, really only, like, New Skids on the Block from Montreal. Yeah, like, it. They're the same. That's, you know, we really love those guys. They're so awesome. You know, yeah, it's like the whole world, because it's so really very serious. But I'm not sure what all the kind of home teams are like over there, but it's all so super competitive over there that it is very serious and, you know... You know, there's none of this skate out stuff over there. So, yeah.
Do you invite Ratsy? Because we're sort of talking about just general stuff.
Yeah.
When you invite this Ratsy in?
Do
you guys want to do that? Okay, cool.
Happy with that? Yeah.
Oh, so we're just talking. So, Mike, we're going to ask Ratsy all the same questions anyway. You should just get her in.
Okay,
hold on. No, you hang around. You hang around.
Oh,
hang around.
Yeah, hang around.
It's going to be a bit of communal thing. If you can. Grape, it's Fanta, lip smacker.
Wow.
It smells like purple Coca-Cola.
Is that what I'm smelling?
Yes.
Oh,
it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I pretty much ate the strawberry one. It was amazing. Sorry. Just put that away.
So now we're joined by Captain Rats, Team Unicorn as well. Thanks
Hello.
For sitting down with us. We're just having a bit of a discussion with Winnie about the grand final and all the preparation leading up to it and how awesome Team Unicorn is.
I was just speaking the truth.
In nothing but the truth. It's awesome. And magic.
And
glitter.
Magic. I'm really lost right now.
You guys?
Oh, okay. We were talking before about how Team Unicorn is kind of the difference in roller derby, because most teams tend to go down the hardcore militants, you know, more screaming assault sirens path, and you guys are the odd ones out with the unicorns and the rainbows.
Yeah.
How does that come about? Why do you think you guys have gone down that path, and why is it so popular with a crowd that normally goes for the opposite?
I think that we're a team of really ridiculous people who love to, you know, laugh at ourselves and be silly and have fun along with being athletes. I mean, we do take it seriously, but we also don't want to take it so seriously that we're like us against you. I mean, we want to have fun, and I really think it helps our fans relate to us because we're having so much fun and we're so approachable, and you know, they know that they're not just like our fans, they're like kind of part of the magic crew. Like, you know, we're just like, I don't know, just a friendly bunch of funny girls who wanted to do Team Unicorn for this reason, to have fun with it, you know.
It's in the DNA, I assume. It's probably unicorn blood infused into, you know, pick the right people just by the fact that you are the way you are.
Yeah. We were talking earlier. We said we're the perfect mix of dirty mouths and sweethearts.
That's it. I love that. That should be your new tagline.
Yeah.
Next year. Definitely.
Well, you guys are the only ones with a support squad that's got themselves a name, the Fags.
Yep.
How did that one come about? Is that anything to do with you guys? Was that an organic offshoot from the fans? Or?
I think, was that Thunder?
Yeah, that was Thunder.
I think that was
before. It was before the first game, I think.
Well, I do know that.
Because we were calling my parents fags. Yeah, we were calling my parents fags.
My parents are magic fags,
so. I know Sebastian did bust it out in the first bout to get everyone involved, so.
Yeah, well, it's a good way.
Did it kind of come about when we started getting support from the get-go, like Dangerous and like the Newcastle
girls?
Yeah,
we did. We had, yeah.
They were like, oh, you guys can be our fags. And
they just didn't want to be fans. And so, yeah, it was just like a way of tying them into like part of the team, part of Team Unicorn.
And just to clarify for our listeners, that's People of Horns and Glitter.
Yeah, PHAG, fags.
Yes, you don't want to say it so much in public because people are like, oh my God, these bigots. Like, you know, they don't understand that. Yeah, it does.
An abbreviation.
Yeah, it's all friendly, magical, embrace our fansness.
When you gave us some specific insight into her preparation routine, and didn't go too in detail, but do you do anything specific leading up to a big day, especially grand final day today?
Yeah, I make sure I have all my makeup and glittery makeup.
Of course.
And my rainbow hair extensions and my favorite underwear.
You have lucky undies?
Yep.
I wore them because I've won every game this year wearing them. So I'm like,
I wear the same pair of underwear to
every
game.
It's like a lucky jockstrap.
You do wash them, right? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. She doesn't spell today.
Today I washed them. It's a big day. So
but then you wash all the magic away.
Really?
Uh-oh. We don't want to put the jinx on you.
Yes. True. Not everything I'm wearing is clean, so, I mean, that'll bring back some magic from past games.
There you go.
My gear smells like old cheese, so that's magic. But, yeah, definitely same underwear every time.
What sort of skate setup do you normally skate? Winnie was talking about putting on some softer wheels for the different floor.
Yeah, yeah. This floor really throws everybody for a loop. So, I mean, it's a scramble to figure out what the best combination is for wheels. Mm-hmm. We're going to have our Trek test at 3. I'm going to try some outdoor wheels because that seems to be the best grip for it. But, yeah, I mean, you do need to prep for this floor. I mean, basically bringing all your spare wheels and, you know... Yeah, it's...
Do you go with different combinations of wheels, or do you just go with one set?
No, I use my outdoor wheels as my outside wheels for my grippy wheels, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to use some Radar Ghosts. Like, a rumor went around last season that those were good for this floor. I used them, and they're still slippery, because everything is, but I'm going to try half of those.
Yeah. You actually skated with the Potluck team down in Victoria. They had a polished concrete floor. How does that surface match up?
The one in Victoria is great. Mm-hmm. The one here is horrendous. It's totally different. And I think it's because this polished floor is painted.
Yeah.
Something about that, and something about the dust that gets on it, and like
it's not porous.
The temperature makes it change.
It's so slippery. Everything settles on it, doesn't settle in it.
We're like well-dressed deer on ice out there.
Yeah. Like, plus there's glitter everywhere.
Yeah, all that magic makes it kind of slippery. Sorry, guys.
I was mentioning too that the atmosphere can be a little bit different between Sydney Olympic Park and here. How do you feel the difference affects skating out there? Does it affect it at all?
I mean, the floor is what really affects it. I mean, I think skating over at SOP is really cool. I love it here because it's kind of this rock star setup. And like when I was little, I really wanted to be a pro wrestler. And this reminds me of the pro wrestling arena.
You just fell in love with her all over again, BK.
This helps me live out that childhood dream, like coming out the black curtain into like the lit up arena, and like, you know, the seats are dark and surrounding, and I'm just like, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble. Like, so I love that part. Like, it's way more, it feels like rock star here.
Yeah. So because it's a more rock venue, you feel more excited skating out?
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
So what is the general vibe about coming back to the hoarding?
Like, everybody's like, oh, God, like, wheels, what do we do with the wheels? Like, that is just the big concern, but then it's like, but we get to be rock stars, you know. But we also have cold dressing rooms here.
Yeah.
Well, this, I guess, the area of around Moore Park has been the spiritual home of Sydney Roller Derby League, so it's a little bit of a homecoming.
Yeah, it's cool to see. We have our name up in lights on that sign outside, yeah. So that's pretty cool.
I always like
cool.
Driving past that.
I'm like, rock star!
That's me!
Yeah, that part's cool, yeah. It seems like, I mean, like you're going to a concert. Like, we seem like we're like a really big act when we're here, so that part's really cool.
One of the things that I love about Derby specifically is the theatrics of it, the spectacle. Rats, you're known for playing up to the crowd.
Yeah.
On a jam, you get lead jamming, you'll throw a little symbol out to the crowd. You got anything specific in mind for tonight, or is it just go with the flow type of thing?
I definitely have something for tonight, possibly in my attire. I kind of like to...
He's trying not to laugh at me. And he's like,
I don't have any too much up my sleeve. I usually just comes with like that moment. What I do. I mean, good God, I grew up doing musical theater. I think that's why I'm such a ham out there.
So we might see some spirit fingers.
You might see spirit fingers. You might see. I mean, you know, I stuck my hands down my pants in Victoria, like when I broke through. I mean, it could be anything, really.
So there's not a lot of thought process. I think tonight I might put my hands down my pants.
No.
And then
usually when I put my hands down my pants, it's like just a split second decision.
Now, the Beauty School Knockouts have been promising on their Facebook page that if they score a grand slam, they're going to get a special little prance from Prancing Johnny. Will we see anything special coming from Unicorn's bench if something as spectacular as a grand slam happens?
Wow.
I think we'll just be working on them not getting a grand slam.
Yeah.
The world doesn't need to see more Prancing Johnny.
I think that there's going to be a lot of disappointed BSK fans, and there won't be any Prancing Johnny.
It's no Prancing Johnny, I like it. Yeah. Good tip.
Yeah, you want to see Prancing Johnny, that's what Facebook's for.
Yeah, and the after party.
Yeah, prancing all over the absolute power, you know, the 80s thing that's happened at the Gaelic after party.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think we're just magic. We go nuts out there. We rev up our fans. Like, that's what we're bringing. Big guns. Go big, go home.
Awesome.
Amen.
Naaman.
Corner
media.
Waka waka waka.
Thanks, guys.
Leave that in.
For Viva La Derby and Roller Derby AU, this is Big Kahuna.
I'm Denominator.
I'm Pepper LaPau.
I'm Patty Wax.
I'm Great Bells of Fire.
We're here at pre-bout for the Sydney Roller Derby League Grand Final. We just sat with Rats and Winnie for Team Unicorn. We're very glad to have Bowls and Paddy Whack with us today as well, just to talk about the preparations of the bout and what they're thinking going into it. So thanks for joining us, by the way. We appreciate your time. I know that it's a very hectic schedule this afternoon, but we appreciate it. So
that's all right. Yeah, bout day is always pretty hectic, but goes pretty quickly.
Do you have a specific routine that you go through for bout days?
It's a little different here at the Horton, I suppose, than it is at Olympic Park. You can sort of spend the day relaxing here a bit more than you can at Olympic Park.
You can go get some lunch at the markets, as well as get you some track.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different here. I mean, the floor is obviously everyone's biggest concern, so we like to get here a little bit early and just make sure we all have the right wheels that we can change into. And I think the consensus is that it's pretty bad. It doesn't matter what kind of wheels you have, you just have to adjust the way you skate. So we just decided to use our track time just practicing some of the basics and going through some of the strategy just to make sure we can still maintain our usual form, given it's a lot more slippery than usual. Yeah.
We've got Bom Jones joining us as well, just sat down at the table. Thanks for joining us, Bom.
That's okay. Thanks for having me.
So do you have a specific routine that you go through for the skating or...?
Pretty much the same as them. I like to waste a lot of time stretching, though. Also wasting, but when they're like, okay, let's do warm-up now, I'm like, no, keep stretching.
Any stretches that you go through specifically? Do they change venue to venue?
No, they're pretty much all the same, just like from the bottom up. Yeah. Sounds weird.
Two means a night, anything.
Yeah.
I just want to start saying congratulations, first of all, for making the grand final. For our first season with Mini School Knockouts, it's a great accomplishment. Leading up to the grand final, you had the last bout was against SAS, and it was a do or die situation, you had to win. Has that sort of built momentum, or have you got confidence coming into today based off that?
I think we planned pretty hard. We were all watching the game when the Deviants played the Unicorns. We were all watching very intently because that would sort of map out our path to the grand final. So I think our preparation for this game today started back then, that night that the Deviants lost that game. And we've had a pretty structured plan that's maybe 8 weeks now in place, and we knew that the SAS game was going to be the most important game because, it was do or die. And we were down players, as we always are. Well, not tonight, actually. We've pretty much got a full bench tonight for the first time. But I think just having 10 players, we're able to really focus on all the strategies, and we knew that every single person in that pack knew exactly what they had to do. It sort of pulled a few variables out. The packs were smaller and tighter, and so we're very proud of our performance in that game. And then we've kind of, we were able to relax a little bit after that, knowing that we're on the right track. And, we just stuck to that plan, the initial plan that we had. And, hopefully it will all come to fruition tonight.
The only loss you had for the season was against the Unicorns. And it was a close bout. It was probably in the last 3 minutes, I think, that they were pulled out from a huge fan.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was a world record for losing in the last 4 minutes. I think we were up like 40 points two germs to go, and we lost it. So I think that was just an example of how having only 10 people on a team can affect you. So even though our fitness was there, like the mental stamina isn't always there, and when you're put under high-pressure situation like we were then, and just expecting everyone to be performing at their peak after having been played for, nearly an hour already. We kind of fell apart at the end, and we're so happy to have a second chance at the Unicorns tonight.
So is there any specific preparation done around that mental stamina, around making sure you come through in the clutch or crunch?
Bowls wrote a whole booklet on that.
Oh,
really?
Funny you should ask.
We've got, like, pictures with stickers, and it's like, okay, so week one, this is what we do, and... on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, you do this half an hour each day. It's like types of training, which we all did. Yeah,
I basically put everyone on a diet, a mental stamina diet. I had them all taking vitamins and all just eating superfoods,
random
foods to like sustain concentration. And this is 8 weeks ago, mind you, so hopefully they would have kicked in by now. Yeah, rather than relying on stimulants on the day. Yeah, ginkgo biloba, Korean ginseng, eating lots of blueberries, goji berries, all of that stuff.
You guys seem to really have it together in this sense over the unicorns.
It's actually something that the unicorn said, that you guys have had a really strong game plan and been putting in extra effort on top of regular training to do that. Was that a conscious decision made by the team, or was there one person kind of driving that?
Well, I think when I know that when I got elected captain of one of the teams at the end of last year, one of the things that I promised the league was that we would never be training in car parks, that we would always have team training, because up until last year we didn't have a lot of team training. We did a lot of league training, and then we're kind of expected to go out on the day and perform as a team, having not really practiced much at all. So that it's always been high on our agenda. We've always booked in advance. We've had venues like months booked in advance when we knew games were coming up, just so that we knew we'd have the time to train just together, because our cohesion is one of the things that's really brought us to the grand final today. At the beginning of the year we were a whole bunch of individuals varying in like skill levels, and sort of as the partner blocking's been introduced into roller derby and stuff, it's really made people who maybe were not so strong skaters by themselves be like very useful, very effective and very strong in the pack. So in that way we've trained everyone up to be really cohesive and use each other. And I think that's the reason that we're here today.
So why do you think the grand finals come down to the two new teams? Is there a specific reason behind that? Is it the...
I mean, it's nice to start from scratch. You have no hang-ups. I played for the Deviants last season, was my first season. Mm-hmm. By the end of the season, I think like we won one out of five games. Now, I found that very demoralising. I had a lot of hang-ups. Jemmy against Winnie Bruce was, I'd get onto the line and I would already be deflated. Like, it was nice to be able to start from scratch. We had no history. Everything that we have is we've created it together. There's no expectations, I really like that. I don't like, having to perform under pressure. And even today, even though it's a grand final, we're the underdogs, and I really find that like motivating to be the underdogs. I really don't feel any pressure to win this game today. I'm relaxed. I think we're all relaxed. But when we get out there on the track, that's when we're going
to
bring it.
You seem really proud to be a beauty school knockout. You have a lot of... You're really proud of what you've created and what your team has become.
Yes, I'm very proud.
Well, one thing I do have to ask, because I'm a big fan of the Beauty School Knockout uniform.
Uh-huh.
It's probably the prettiest uniform that's going around. How did you guys come up with the idea of wearing such a pretty uniform, considering most guys go down the route of the really tough and hard look?
Just psych people out.
Well, SRDL was missing a pretty team, and I'd already come up with the name before I got voted. Like, if you know me, I'm just a constant, I'm constantly coming up with names. Bomb and I live together, but she just never hears the end of it. Like, it's just constant flow of derby names coming out of my brain. I think I must be understimulated at work or something. Probably need a more creative job. But I come up with the Beauty School Knockouts. That was one of an array of ones. And, the idea just kind of built. And then when the nominations were coming up for captain, I had such a strong idea that I felt like that's what I could bring to the table. So even though I didn't know how I would go as a captain, I knew I had a very strong idea about the team. And once you create a rockabilly team, the rockabilly people come. And so we were lucky enough to have Gypsy Taylor offer to make our uniforms, and she's like quite a famous costume designer, and they just loved it. They offered to design it for free. We did a fundraiser at the end of last year that allowed us to spend a little bit more on our outfits, because we always knew they were going to have to be you know, pretty exceptional. So, yeah, we put everything we had into that uniform, and yeah, hopefully it will stand the test of time.
If there's any...
never wear out.
If there's any freshies that are listening that are still struggling to find that cool name, what are some of the rejects that you came up with? And did,
I'm not sure if any of them are
appropriate.
Freighter Cox, they can't be that worse.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'd really have to think about it. Yeah, I mean,
one.
Which
say
one?
It.
You say it.
Just say it. My Little Pony.
Oh yeah, My Little Pony.
There's another one. Same word in it.
Yeah, I keep coming up with 100 ones that have like I don't know vaginal references. Yeah. Shall we just call it that? Yeah. My Little Pony was my favourite.
I'm thinking Lunatic Minge, but nobody seems to want that either. I guess when you're at work and you're discussing your names and people at work say, oh, what's your Derby name? You'd have to sort of abbreviate Minge. It to Luna just to be appropriate. So, yeah, I think it's funny.
Musicians that are really old, so.
So, like, my wife is a fresh meat.
My wife
is fresh meat, and she's struggling to come up with a name, but every time I try to do something, It's usually a guy's name.
Yeah,
I like that.
Oh, problem as well.
Well, some of the guys' names are hilarious. I just got back from RollerCon, and like there are men doing derby, like probably a quarter of RollerCon, I reckon. I've never seen so many guys with numbers and names, and some of their names were hilarious. So my favourite one was Just the Tip.
Nice.
I like Obi-Wan Can Blow Me.
Ah.
That's my prize one there. I want to give to somebody. You may have this name.
I have
50 bucks.
I have Princess Leia into her. And that's my favourite. And I was like, you can only be a Star Wars fan and only if I think you're worthy.
Well, my favourite, an oldie but a goodie, is Princess Leia. I know it's taken, but oh, God. And Payne Jane. I really wanted to be Payne Jane.
Awesome.
When I first started, I really wanted to be Judge Judy. Grudge Judy.
I wanted to be Fleetwood Smack, but then a chick in Townsville took it.
It'd be quick.
Yeah, I know.
Snappy, man.
Going back to your strategy and stuff, I brought it. at the last bout, we talked to you after the bout, and you said that the word that you used was you knew who the bleed points were. I think you said where you're going to lose points to the other team.
Yes.
Right. Well, who's going to actually, you know, who will allow points through and that sort of thing? Who is there specific unicorns that you're targeting, or you've got strategy around the way specific players play in this game?
Most definitely. I mean, obviously, there's Winnie. So
you're
just gonna contain her as much as you can.
Just go for the
pretty much. So trying to do something. I mean, no winning, I'm kidding.
Lucky for the edit.
Yeah. They won't hear this before, will they?
No.
Winnie, Thunder's a huge threat in the pack because she just wipes people out. I remember last time we played, it took us a while, but after maybe half time, I was like, get Thunder off me! I can't take it anymore. But I mean, you know, just we got to make sure that they don't stay together as well. Because once any team walls up in this league, it's good.
Now, both Bowls and Bomber and Assassins, how do you split the difference? Like, how do you separate between the two? Do you end up having strategy from Assassins and skating there and learning from, I guess you've got Prancing Johnny and, oh, sorry, Dodge.
He is Prancing Johnny tonight.
But do you end up stealing a bit of strategy and ideas from there and incorporating with the musical knockouts and vice versa, or how's that go?
Yeah, I think the role of the assassins in the whole league is to learn from the assassins training and bring it back to the team. We obviously don't get a lot of team training time, like home team training time together, so there's not a lot of time to share the knowledge. Like, there is assassins train twice a week together, but basically, yeah, you come back and you try and share as much of it as you can given the time frame that you have, considering that you know, people are obviously of different skill levels and we have to be able to on the day get it together. So if that means maybe not trying some of the more difficult, you know, might take a little bit longer to, you know, relay it to the team because we just don't have the time to train to be like completely competent with those, but yeah, obviously little snippets we bring back. Yeah.
During the last couple of bouts, you guys have actually had jammers rotating really quickly due to the sort of lower numbers.
Uh-huh.
having the full team, do we see a different workload set up, or how do you actually plan out who's going to play what positions and during which jams?
I think what we usually do is we'll go out with our first, we'll have like maybe a set of 5 or 6 lines, we'll just run through them, and then from there we'll assess what we need to change up in our strategy, you know, who should be on more, who's jamming really well that night, swap around, just see what works. Like, I mean, yeah, it changes each game, but hopefully there'll be some more jams on this time.
So you guys expecting an easier time that you've got a full-strength team this time, or...?
No.
No?
It's kind of hard to say, really. I mean, in some ways, having less people, it's in some ways easier to maintain that cohesion because there's less of you, there's just purely less of you. But then, on the other hand, if there's more of you, then you might, you know, the team might have a bit more stamina, might last a bit longer because everyone gets more of a break when they come off, for example. So, or if, you know, someone gets injured, it's as bad as that is, there might be somebody else that can kind of slot in and maintain.
I think also at this time of the year, in the preparation for this game, we're going to go with what works. You know, we're going to know what we've learned all season. You know, the packs and the pairs that we know work, the plays that we know work, like... If you're working on the day, you're going to go on the track. And so the first 10 minutes of a game is usually both teams kind of finding out what's working, who's working, what's not working, you know, and then tailoring it. So I think we normally call a timeout after, like, 6 jams or something just to regroup, work out, you know, sort of what they're doing, have a bit of a chat about what they're doing, which is why it's really handy to have 2 good benchies. One person's always got their eyes on the track, sort of seeing what's going on, and the other one's obviously working on the bench. Yeah, so at this stage, we're running with what worked in the last game and what's worked, you know, and hopefully we've got it all pinpointed and nailed, and tonight is going to be the night for victory for the BSK.
It's funny, because Winnie said earlier that she feels that they are perhaps the underdog coming into tonight. Knowing how strong you guys are, obviously she's got a lot of respect for the Beautiful Knockouts and what you're working with and what you're able to do. Do you agree with her assessment that perhaps the Beautiful Knockouts might be, you know, I don't know, I wouldn't say stronger, but she feels that they have the underdog tag with them?
I can see the fact that they've been undefeated this year would put them under a lot of pressure to maintain that, and I think that would get to you. Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think we have a lot of respect for Winnie too, and she's awesome
on
and off
Winnie.
The track.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, they're undefeated, so I don't know how you could be undefeated and underdog at the same time. Maybe they feel that way because they need to up, they feel that, you know, they need to.
I think one of the big things for them tonight is going to be missing their main pivot, because Aprila Vahan's not playing in this game. This will be the first time they've played without her, and if you look at, like, statistically, she has pivoted the majority of the season for them. So she's still going to be on the bench. She's still going to be able to be contributing in that, like, way, giving them feedback and stuff. But I think our packs are probably a little bit more flexible. We may not have... We've got a couple of good, big... really strong hitters and stuff, but I think generally the skill level, like, I'm very, very happy with where we are. And I mean, we continue to be pretty happy with the way, like, I always worry and I try and plan and I plan and I plan and I plan, I do all these lineups and I do all this training, and then when I get there on the day, I think, why was I so worried? I know my girls know what they're doing, you know, and I just need to trust that everyone knows their job. And so that's why I say I don't feel any pressure tonight. I feel confident in everyone, and I know they're going to skate to the best of their abilities, and hopefully that'll be enough to bring us a win.
Well, they've got all that ginkgo biloba.
Yeah. We've got the mental stamina. And we're going to have a chanting circle in the change room. We're going to do some visualisation.
Breathing exercises.
Yes, some breathing exercises. We're going to do some pelvic floor exercises. And then we're going to go out and we're going to eat some corns for dinner. We're going to cream the corns.
I wanted to ask too about the cheerleaders. You guys have actually got cheerleaders uniformed out there every time. How did that come about? Was that something to do with you guys? Or
yep.
Yeah?
It's all balls, pre-planning, imagining, and conjuring up ideas.
I really loved how VRDL, their cheerleaders are all guys. They have guys in cheerleaders outfits with big megaphones, and the VRDL theme is a bit of a kind of 1950s sort of varsity theme as well. So I really love that, having the men cheer for us. So I tried to find some male cheerleaders unsuccessfully. But then
skate park to try and do that.
I was recruiting cheerleaders all over the joint. But the people that actually came, obviously being a new team, they didn't really know what they were going in for, and no one really knew. So we ended up with the first game. We had 10 dominatrixes cheerleading for us. Don't ask me how I managed to swing that one. Anyway, it was just the whole, we just wanted them to be really camp. Really, we've got a kind of Greece theme, you know, so we just wanted to go with that 1950s pep rally kind of, you know, something really cheesy. Like, we didn't want them to be cheerleaders, we wanted them to be cheesy cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. And one of my good mates made little skirts for them and sapphire screen printed tops for them, and it all just came around. And now we've actually got a pretty big crew of people who want to come and cheer for us.
And Shona Mercy on the team, she is a pin-up girl. And she has quite a few pin-up friends that have come along and helped out with that too, which has been great.
Yeah.
She ended up on our team, didn't she?
Yes, definitely. That's actually how we've drafted a lot. We've drafted a lot based on personality and style.
Literally based on job. Yeah.
That's why we took Nicole. That's how we ended up with Bomb Jones. She had blonde hair and she had to go on the pretty team. And then we just got really lucky that she turned out to be a really great skater.
Stockard Slamming.
Yeah, she's
English. Stockard Slamming, who's on the team, really looks like Rizzo.
Switchblade Serenade, she had the whole like 50s vibe going on, and we just happened to keep collecting these people. Like, because I mean, you really don't get too much of a say these days when you get drafted. You know, it's which team needs who, and we've just been really lucky to end up. I've sort of heard us referred to as the pretty drunks. Like, you know, we're not the most like athletic team, but we are very like cohesive and we work really well together.
So is that the tip of any fresh meat coming through for the beauty school knockouts?
Yeah, get some tattoos. Wear a bit of lippy.
Bit of pink, bit of 50s.
Yep, period. Definitely.
And you'll teach them to skate.
I'll tell you another tip. If you want to join the BSK, you should definitely come and ride skate parks with us. Because we ride skate parks every weekend. That's how come we became friends with Bom when she was fresh meat. She started coming to the skate parks with us every weekend. And over summer, we have a really tight crew. It's starting to spread its wings now, but the core members is probably, you know, five or six BSK skaters every Saturday. And it's fun.
But then you risk getting hit by scooters.
Actually, we're pretty good at taking scooters. We bring our own children with scooters, actually. We've learnt to live with scooters. Just like you learn to live with people hitting you on roller skates when you play roller derby.
Yeah,
you adapt. It just makes you a better skater.
Yes,
possibly. That's all I've got, yeah.
Yeah?
That's great. Thanks, Sarah.
Okay, thank you so much.
I really appreciate it.
You have a little one that looks like she needs some hugs, so.
This is Eddie Snacks.
Good luck tonight.
Good luck.
Yay, thank you guys.
I'm one of those annoying fans that are on your page all the time.
Are you? Oh, yay!
Not annoying. It's not.
Thank you. We appreciate it a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Ooh.
Let's demonstrate.